Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Investing in Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Clayton Morris. So great to have you here. Longtime real estate investor. And this is the show where we help you build financial intelligence so you can build financial freedom. That, of course, is the goal of this show. We've got a great guest on the show today to talk about something we really have. I don't think we've talked around it. We've talked in general about it. Certainly a strategy that we've done on the show before in our real estate investing journey, but we've never done a whole show on owner financing. That is when you find a property and you say to the owner, hey, you know what? I'd love to buy this property. Why don't you hold a mortgage on it for me so that I can buy the property from you? It benefits you, right? Because you don't have to pay all the capital gains at once. You don't have to pay all the capital gains taxes at one time. But there are some tricky ins and outs of doing this. And it can really help a new investor get started because they might not have the normal financing available to them. And if they find a property that an investor is willing to unload, this could be a great opportunity for you to get your feet wet in the real estate investing world. So we've got a guest on the show today that he's the CEO of Good Stewart Lending Services, and he can talk about this RMLO strategy, or the Residential Mortgage Loan Officer strategy. And because of the Dodd-Frank law, there are some things that you can run up against. You want to make sure you're not running afoul of these laws. And so we have Mark Ross on the show today to dive into this. Mark, great to have you here.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, yeah, I'm excited to talk about this. And, you know, we've done shows where we've talked about why someone would want to do owner financing. And did I kind of get that right? I mean, you can maybe expand on why in the world would someone want to be open to doing owner financing if I'm the seller of a property?
There's actually a couple of different scenarios for owner financing. The first is as an investor, when you buy a piece of property and you don't want to have to pay the freight to get a new loan to finance that property, many times you can get the seller to agree to carry back the financing. And that's a fairly common strategy that investors use, especially when there's a lot of equity in the property that they're buying. Another strategy is when you're selling. As an investor, when you sell, you may very well want to carry back that financing. Obviously, you mentioned earlier, Clayton, about the savings of the capital gains benefit, the taxes you don't have to pay if you're not getting a full cash offer or getting all cash for that transaction. So the benefit there is that you would divert the tax implications potentially, as well as there's a big issue that comes up into play now, and that's the Dodd-Frank issue on seller carryback. So as a seller, when you sell that property, you end up with mailbox money, which is kind of what we all look forward to, is just getting those checks in the mail every month and not have to worry about necessarily the toilets or the tenants or that type of thing. So it's a great strategy to convert your real estate assets into paper, into notes, and utilize them. But you do have to pay attention to some of the regulations that are out there as well.
Right. And we'll get into some of those regulations here in a moment. I, you know, just at a high level, 30,000 foot level, you know, if you're scratching your head as to this whole strategy, just imagine this, and you can bounce this around with me a little bit, Mark, and maybe talk about this woman's scenario. But I remember one of the times when I was doing just cold calling and reaching out to investors after I did a direct mailing a number of years ago, maybe 8 to 10 years ago, you know, I spoke to a woman. She was a savvy investor. I think she was 87 years old. She owned multiple properties across multiple states. And she said, you know, my kids are just not interested in taking on these properties. So I'm interested, and I'd carry a note on these properties for you. I'd be interested in selling them. And she said, look, I'd even do it for 30 years. And I, she's 87 years old. She's going to do a 30-year note. So you might be listening to this podcast saying, well, she's not going to be around for 30 more years. Why would she do that? Why would she do that, Mark?
There's a lot of reasons. Number one, cash flow. When she creates that 30-year note, she knows what her payment's going to be every single month. And again, when she sells that property, she's only paying the taxes on the amount of money she receives. So if you entered into a transaction with her to buy that property and you gave her $5,000 down and she carried the rest of the paper, the only tax liability she would be on the $5,000 she receives, and then whatever percentage of the principal, and then of course the interest, it would be taxable. So it reduces the amount of the tax liability. So if she's estate planning, there's a great strategy there to convert the real estate equity into paper, and it just creates that cash flow, especially if her kids are not interested in managing the properties or dealing with the real estate holdings. All of a sudden, she just creates an opportunity for cash flow. The other thing is that paper has economic value. It's just like a stock or a bond. It has marketability, and it can be sold, or it can be used as security for a loan. There's all sorts of different strategies that people utilize if they are trying to raise capital and trying to avoid the tax implications. So she could sell the property to you for a minimal down, carry back the paper, and then if she needs some cash, she could go borrow using that equity in that note as cash, and she doesn't have a tax liability by borrowing the money. So there's a lot of different strategies that can be employed when you're dealing with paper in that example.
Right. I mean, she was a savvy investor, right? She knew her stuff. She understood, and she was very game for it. And so when you have an investor who understands that, I mean, and some of this can be an education process too. I remember a real estate investor that I learned from many, many years ago who would make this part of his sales pitch. If he was going to buy a distressed property from a seller, a tired landlord, he might sit down with that person instead of him having to pony up a big bundle of cash in order to buy the property. He would explain seller financing to that owner and sort of educate them in that process, right?
Yes.
And it's a powerful tool to say, look, rather than you getting hit with this massive capital gains bill because you're going to sell this to me all at once for a lump pile of cash, why not spread it out over 30 years? Or heck, you could do 40 years. You're not limited by a 30-year note, right?
Absolutely. You can do any amortization period that you want. The beauty of it is that you just create the terms that are acceptable. So as a seller, you're not limited by any kind of conditions. There is a caveat to that, and that is you have to be a little careful about Dodd-Frank, and you have to be a little careful about any particular state law that may interfere with that seller carryback. But for the most part, you can create any kind of terms and conditions that you feel comfortable with.
So let's talk a little bit about your company before we get into some of Dodd-Frank, and because what your company does, you're able to help people navigate these rough waters of these new laws. Not new anymore, I guess. God, like what, 11 years old now, for crying out loud? I'm getting older. But so talk a little bit about your company, what your company does to help navigate some of these rough waters of owner financing.
What we do is, in this capacity, we fulfill several different roles. One is that we will buy and sell paper. So if somebody has a note that they wish to sell, we can help them with that transaction and move that paper. Secondly, if people are looking to buy paper and we have an inventory of paper available for sale, you know, we'll make that available to them as well. as well as lending against paper, which is an interesting dynamic that a lot of companies don't do. But if you have a piece of paper, you don't want to sell it, but you do need some cash, we could conceivably make a loan secured by that paper. So there's a, those kind of strategies occur. And then there is the strategies where sellers are interested in creating paper, and they need, because of Dodd-Frank, they need to hire a loan originator to perform certain services. You know, we fulfill that role as well. So there's a, we like the paper marketplace. It's a very dynamic opportunity for people. It is a negotiable commodity that can be bought and sold. So it does have a certain attractiveness to people, and cash is king many times, but then when you have the cash, what do? I think this is probably second to cash in that you end up having cash flow and you have an asset that is marketable.
Oh, I love that. And I think that's, you're right. It's really powerful. There's so much, it's almost, I think of holding notes. It's kind of like having Play-Doh. You know, you can, they're so malleable. And I think here's just one example of the malleability of having a note on a property. I bought a property owner finance a number of years ago, and I knew that it was a distressed property based on my marketing. When I stumbled across the property and speaking to the woman, she was a tired landlord interested in selling this one particular rental property in Pennsylvania. And we negotiated on terms. I bought it with owner financing. And about a year into it, I knew that I could reach out to her and renegotiate it and say, look, would you like a pile of cash? I think I ended up offering her about 50% of what was remaining on the note. And because it's a note between two people, she said, sure. And then through the, through the mortgage company, however we structured it, she wiped the note clean. I paid her 50% of the remaining balance of the 10-year note, and I owned the property. And that mortgage was then concluded, paid in full. So there's a lot of malleability with notes too, isn't there, Mark?
Absolutely. That's just a simple example. One thing I tell investors to remember to do when they're writing an offer and they're going to be asking the seller to carry back the financing, you'll want a clause in the paperwork that says that you have the first right of refusal to buy that note. And what that does is it allows you as a real estate investor, when you're buying that property, that if that seller decides to sell that paper, they want to convert it into cash or something, they want to sell it, they have to come to you first in order to give you the opportunity to buy that paper. And it gives you a chance to do what you just did, Clayton, which was buy that note at a discount. There's that strategy is just a little clause you would put into the note and deed of trust or whatever instrument you're using to buy the property. And it can give you some great opportunities. Now, as a seller carrying back the paper, I would not want that clause in there because I would want to have as much flexibility as I can in selling that paper. But it is a clause for real estate investors to build into their repertoire. It's really worthwhile for them to have that.
Today's episode is brought to you by Vistaprint. Oh, that's so important when you're a small business owner or people who produce their own podcasts or products. It doesn't matter. You've got to have a professional foot forward. And that's where Vistaprint comes in, enabling you to create high quality, amazing looking business cards for ridiculously low prices. I've used them for years for cards throughout the years. I remember when they first kind of came on the scene, I was like, there's no way that you can do this on the internet and have them deliver beautiful cards right to your door. Well, guess what? They figured out how to do it. And they've been gorgeous and affordable ever since. You plug in your information, your logo, into hundreds of fresh designs tailored to your type of company, or you upload your own original layout. It doesn't matter. And you pick the paper stock, the style, the quantity that's right for you. You can even upgrade to a unique touch, like a rounded corner look. Those were my first cards. I had rounded corners years ago. You order and you receive your cards with free economy shipping. And you can feel good knowing that Vistaprint uses only carefully selected inks and responsibly sourced paper stocks. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed or your money back. They want you to own the now. They want you to own the now for your next big opportunity in your business. And it could be going to a real estate meetup group and bringing a stack of cards. You know, you might be doing wholesaling for the first time. You might be a real estate agent. You've got to have high quality cards, handing those out in the room so that people can write notes on the back and give you a call the next day to make that connection. Or maybe it's a big conference that you're going to. You've got to do that. Get proper cards for those occasions. So Vistaprint wants you to be able to own the now in any situation, which is why our listeners will get free shipping on all business cards, any style, any quantity. You just go to Vistaprint.com, and when you're checking out, use that promo code INVESTING2, so the numeral 2, INVESTING2, for free shipping on all business cards, any style, any quantity. There's a limited time offer. And own the now at Vistaprint.com. Use that promo code INVESTING2. That's promo code INVESTING followed by the number 2. You support our show when you support our sponsors. So important. Thanks, Vistaprint.
Yeah, I think there's so many opportunities with note buying, the availability of different notes. Like you mentioned, you know, if you've got some properties that you're interested in leveraging as well, that is not a strategy I'd ever heard of before. And that's why I love real estate so much, because I can, you know, you can constantly be learning. I've done thousands of deals, and I never thought about the idea of leveraging a property that you have, leveraging a note to, you know, to borrow against that note. And that's pretty impressive. How often do you guys do that?
Well, I've been doing this for a long time, for several decades, and it's not what I would call a frequent event, because it's not mainstream. And so people don't walk into my office many times thinking that they want to borrow against their paper. But I'll bring it up in conversation, and it happens periodically that people feel like, yeah, that works for me. Because I've got this cash flow and I need some cash, and I want to avoid the tax implications. So it can work. We don't do a ton of it, only because, like I said, it's not mainstream, but it is something that is not uncommon. Let me put it that way.
Well, I mean, because a lot of things, I think people think that they're going to go to a traditional bank, get a home equity line of credit. What would be the terms? Just give me a ballpark. I know you can't get into maybe some specifics, but, you know, let's say I've got a $50,000 property. I've got a note for a $50,000 property. The cash flow, whatever it is, $600 a month. What would a normal transaction look like in that regard?
So it depends on what the terms are of the note itself, because what we're going to be structuring our loan around the terms of that note. So if that note pays $600 a month, then my first question to the owner of the paper is, well, how much do you want to make as a monthly payment? Because you're getting $600, you want to allocate the entire $600 to pay back the loan, or do you only want to allocate $300 of it? And so those are the kind of questions that I have to analyze the terms of the existing paper. Is there a balloon payment due on that note? If so, is that when you want to pay off the loan I'm making you? You know, those are the kind of questions. It's really hard to structure. It's not uncommon to see interest rates in the high single digits to low double digits as far as the pricing on the loan. But it really depends on the terms of the existing note that we're dealing with.
Fascinating, fascinating. So let's talk about Dodd-Frank. Let's talk about some of the regulations that people need to be aware of. First of all, what did it look like before Dodd-Frank? Was it kind of like the Wild West? And what does it look like after Dodd-Frank, owner financing?
Well, yes, owner financing, I wouldn't call it the Wild West in the sense that just seems like it implies a very haphazard process. And private money, seller carry backs, paper, all that stuff, there's a marketplace for it, and there's a sophistication to it. So you have to know how to structure the note. You have to know what clauses are in there. All of that existed prior to Dodd-Frank. All of us did those transactions. They were just commonplace. The difference now is with Dodd-Frank is that if you are a seller selling your property and carrying back the paper, and the buyer is going to live there, then Dodd-Frank comes into play. So previously, that wasn't an issue. But today it is. So I have to pay attention as a seller of real estate if the buyer is going to live there or not. If they're buying it as an investment, it's different. I don't have the same kind of of issues that I have to worry about if I'm selling to an owner-occupant. Most real estate investors, more likely than not, will sell their property on the retail side of things to an end user. They may also sell to real estate investors, but I think most people are going to try to maximize their profits and they're going to sell to end users. Well, the beauty of selling your property to an end user and carrying it back is that you can maximize your sales price. If somebody has a challenge in qualifying for a loan and they want to do a seller carryback, then you're going to get top dollar for your property because of that. And you can structure the terms any way you want to structure them. The drawback is you have to pay attention to Dodd-Frank. So the criteria that Dodd-Frank now we have to deal with is it's created a niche business model across the country for people that are licensed like me to provide the Dodd-Frank service, to provide that RMLO service to sellers to make sure they're compliant with Dodd-Frank. So it's I call it the Mortgage Loan Originator Employment Act because it's really
right.
It's really created an opportunity.
What are areas of trouble that you need to look out for? I mean, obviously some of this then comes back on you, right? I mean, it's kind of like title insurance, right? You have to do your due diligence here. What kind of stuff could come back on you and you guys need to make sure you're looking out for?
Well, the Dodd-Frank, if you violate aspects of Dodd-Frank, you open yourselves up to all sorts of problems. Litigation, obviously, the attorneys general, or any other state or federal governmental body can come after you. CFPB, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, could come after you. And their job is basically to fine people. I mean, that's their role in our government bodies today. So you have to be careful about making sure you follow the guidelines to avoid those problems. The big issue is, number one, is the buyer going to live there? If they are, Dodd-Frank kicks in. If they're not, Dodd-Frank is not an issue. It only applies to owner-occupants. So you may want to decide as a seller, you're only going to sell to investors. And then you can avoid the Dodd-Frank problem. But the difficulty with that, or the problem I see with that, is that you're not going to maximize your sales price. Most investors are not going to pay top dollar retail for a piece of property. And a buyer, a home buyer who's going to live there, may very well do that. So you have to decide what your market is. And then Dodd-Frank has certain guidelines that you have to comply with, certain terms, how the note has to be structured, when you have to bring in a loan originator like myself to fulfill that role. There's all sorts of different subtleties associated with Dodd-Frank that make it something you have to become knowledgeable about.
So what do you, thank you for sharing that, Mark. That's fascinating. So what do you think's next for the Dodd-Frank law? Do you see any other changes coming down the pike that we need to be aware of as real estate investors?
Well, when I heard that the Trump administration was considering making changes to Dodd-Frank, I was hopeful that they would address issues in both the lending arena, because Dodd-Frank affects direct lending as well, and this seller carryback arena. But they only really dealt with small banks and their asset bases and things like that. They didn't really touch on this area. So I don't have a lot of confidence that we're going to see any changes in Dodd-Frank. I suppose it could happen, and it would be great if it did, but I don't know if it's a big enough marketplace for it to get the attention of the current administration to deal with.
Interesting. So what's next for you guys as a company, and how can people connect with you if they're interested in structuring some of these loans? They've got some properties they'd like to leverage and make available with seller financing, or even to acquire properties and to lean on you guys for setting up loans through you guys. How can people connect with you, and what's next for your office?
Well, most of our transactions are local. We're based in Arizona, and so most of the lending we do is in Arizona. We will do some commercial stuff across the country, but most of the direct loans are better served in your local marketplace. Quite honestly, using a mortgage broker that's in your marketplace is going to be usually the best source of money and the most inexpensive source of money. Then as far as paper goes, that's a national commodity. It's generally not a licensed activity. So the regulations in most states don't have regulations regarding paper. So that's why it becomes more of a national issue, and it makes it available to people like me and others who have an interest in paper to deal with that paper nationally. And it really does provide a great strategy. You know, you can buy gold, you can buy silver, you can buy stocks and bonds, you can buy real estate. There's a lot of places you can put your money. This is just one more opportunity to create wealth in the future. And it definitely is a growing marketplace. You'll see a lot of national speakers going on tours now talking about paper and its value. And so we just are kind of component to that particular process.
Wonderful. Well, it's definitely part of our portfolio, and I think it should be a part of everyone's portfolio going forward. I think it's a great strategy. Mark, thank you so much for joining us here on the show. I'd love to have you come back on, and maybe we can even go even deeper into some of these topics. And we can also keep our eyes on what happens with some of the changes to Dodd-Frank and some of the laws going forward.
Sure. Well, we would be happy to come back. We appreciate the opportunity.
My guest has been Mark Ross of Good Steward Lending Services. Thank you so much, Mark. My great pleasure to have you here on the show.
Thanks a lot.
And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing. And thanks to Inc. Magazine for once again naming us one of the best business podcasts out there. I always love to include some of our 5-star reviews. I try to read those on Monday's episode. So if you'd be so kind, leave a nice 5-star review. If we've brought you any value here on the show, we'd like to read those. You can go to Apple Podcasts and leave a nice review. Again, if we've brought you value. And I point to Mark because Mark was the one that brought you real value today. So much love to all of you. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth and add some paper into your real estate investing journey. We'll see you next time, everyone.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your 2 free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.